Welcome back to the Bitter Jurors podcast. I am Sam Standish, and I'm not modulating the tone of my voice very well. We are a queer legend, of course, super fan podcast, book 4, chapter 9, and Beyond the Wilds, Into the Wild, Wildest Dreams, Never Go Out of Style, kind of Taylor era. And I'm getting head nods all around. Everyone's saying yes, yes, more of this. Constantly being affirmed in my choices. And with me, as always, and one of the most adamant Taylor Swift, militant Taylor Swift stands I know, is Derek Reining.
Oh wow, okay. I'm certainly militant in a certain direction. I would say I would characterize myself that way.
You're sort of like the Bolin Varric turning on her when you see her work.
I don't know if I was ever on her side, was the question.
You were obsessed.
I was. Oh,
I'm retelling the story from my perspective, like the right. Recollections, remembrances.
Yes, remembrance.
But we are not even close to being alone. Avatar Korra superfan, Survivor player, a good friend of the podcast, amazing person, pink hair dye, grad student, and friend. And his friend, I'm gonna double build a friendship. It's Gabby Pascuzzi.
Hello, always good to be here. I won't get into it in detail, but I'm with Derek. Hashtag I'm with Derek.
Yeah.
So you're I'm also a fan.
Yeah, I'm Taylor Swift's number one fan.
I'm neutral to positive. That's where I'll go.
So you're part of the problem.
Absolutely. I'm seeing her wage war, and as a world leader, I'm deciding to do nothing against her horrors.
Yeah.
So literally every world leader in Korra at this point.
Indeed.
Like our good, I feel like we talked about it before, not a good look for our friend Zuko, who I guess is just out in the world, not a care in the world.
It's kind of like, maybe I've already made this comparison, but it's kind of like the Hokage where you retire so that someone else can take over, and then if they die, you sort of come back.
Right. Which is a strange system of rule.
To just vibe out.
Yeah, but then also be willing to like come back.
It's a life sentence. It's a lifetime appointment until you decide to abdicate, but then you may need to be still on call.
Yeah. Okay.
On call. Yeah.
That sounds stressful.
Yeah.
With being an RN, right?
Yeah, or a medical professional of any kind, I think.
No, just those ones.
Stressful as being a nurse.
Oh, there's a cattail, just like a shark fin across the screen.
She's making herself known.
Oh, so cute. You know, it's not cute. Fascism. That's what we learned this episode, right? No, we learned trauma isn't cute either.
I learned it can kind of be okay if it's not affecting you directly.
Right. It's only bad if they like kidnap your entire family.
Yeah.
Gabby, how are you doing? What are your thoughts on book 4 of Korra?
I'm doing well, and yeah, I like it. I think I came in for a really good episode. I didn't know like what the luck of the draw would be. And I'm really glad that I got that I alone get to talk about this spirity episode, and we get Zaheera back. I'm kind of glad that we didn't spend that much time with Kuvira, because I don't like it. It makes me sad. It makes me sad when girl bosses abuse their power, send into fascism. Like, that makes me real bummed out. So glad I got to kind of ignore that for a bit and like take a little hike in the woods, just kind of visit some old friends. Go visit some fairies. Like, that was fun.
I know.
They were kind of doing Annihilation in this episode too, which was pretty slay.
Annihilation talking to the communist Zaddy Zaheer. Like, I agree, it's like you can either have, I mean, like sexy woman, but she's like evil, or sexy man, but he's like
evil.
evil, but like in a slay way. So it's like, how does that work?
Wait, you think that the sexy women being evil isn't slay?
I do think it's slay. I'm just like, where's the, what's the slay balance, you know?
It's giving misogyny.
I'm like, horny or
I'm allowed worship? I'm allowed to not like Taylor Swift, but when you do it, it's misogyny.
Okay. I can accept that, honestly. I'm okay with
probably
that.
Accurate.
Yeah. Meeting fairies, aka talking to Zaheer.
Yeah,
talking to me and Derek.
Yeah, we didn't really get to hang out with fairies, but they were around. Like, I felt their presence. if that wasn't the focus.
Very fae coded around. Napoleon Dynamite was back in this episode, as we all know.
The voice actor for the airbender is Napoleon Dynamite.
John Heder. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yes. It's
That's funny. Him.
Yeah, so that he's just here having fun, getting spirit napped.
Yeah, I love that. They're doing tours of maybe it's just for press, who knows, but like they're starting to bringing people through the woods, which I thought was funny as a concept.
Like, is it monetized? Yeah, or is it for PR?
Yeah, is this, I mean, maybe it's like a tourist thing. It's like, well, if we're gonna have these like entire swaths of our city just covered in vines, we might as well make it like cool.
But like, where's the funding going?
Right, like where, we gotta follow the money.
Like the police or like the airbenders?
It might be like an airbending, like they're like independent contractors for the city. Like, we are here to promote the wilds for you.
But like, they should not be benefiting off of the spirit worlds. Like, they, agreed, like they aren't the people who caused this to happen.
Didn't even want it.
They're supposed to, I get that they're supposed to be like keeping the balance in Korra's absence, but they didn't even do that this episode because like Kuvira is obviously not keeping things balanced.
Yeah, they're doing Tenzin a bad was job. Like,
yeah, they suck.
True.
He wasn't a good tour guide. He wasn't even off book.
He's not. I mean, they're sending people into the like the dangerous spirit world with like someone who's been kind of airbending for like a couple years, and it's like maybe they needed like a, you know, better bodyguard in case something like what happened. But even then, Jinora also got like whopped by the vines, so
yeah, she's like Mrs. Spirit World. Yeah. Like, what the hell,
Miz,
sorry, Madame.
She's married to the spirits.
Yeah. Oh,
the fairies.
I mean, as a misogynist, she only has relationship to a man. That's the only thing that matters. Like, the spirit world is a man, and she's married to him.
Yeah.
That was my read as well, actually.
Human man, and they're in love.
Got that reference.
They're stuck in their little goo pods, which I like that like goo and spirits just go hand in hand in this world. I don't know why I like that. It just feels right.
Nickelodeon coded.
Yeah, very Danny Phantom.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
To me, it feels
like. Who is mysterious?
Goo, it's like, what is that? Like, yeah, whenever like, there's goo, when you feel something gooey, you're like, what the fuck is that? So yeah, it's like,
it's not a liquid, yet it's not a solid.
Yeah,
this Newtonian liquid's got to get out of here. Or is it solid? Newtonian solids? I don't know. But my friend recently received a jar of Nickelodeon slime for his birthday, like official slime. And it did look gross.
What color is it?
Green.
Okay. Just checking.
I would want the kind that, but the specific goo that like comes out and like looked like it concussed Katy Perry. That's my favorite. Have you ever seen that clip of her?
No.
She got slimed at the Nick Award, the Kid Choice Awards, and it like fully like a fire hose hit her face.
Katy Perry slimed injury.
Injury.
Like it was too much volume, too much force.
Yeah, it was like it's supposed to, she like opened something and it like fully is almost like a pressure washer like hitting her in the face.
And it is like with those Newtonian liquids, like when they go at certain speeds, they're solid.
Oh my god! I just watched it.
When they go at certain speed, I mean, is this an Oppenheimer report? I still haven't seen the movie. Do they talk about the force with which slime
they talk
can
about
hit
the speed
face?
Of slime? They do, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, maybe
What's
I should watch that movie.
Most formative slime. I feel like for me, it's Ivan Ooze in the Power Rangers movie, the purple slime.
Ooh. For me, it's was it Gooey Gus? Do you guys recall a certain Canadian television program, Ghost Writer? Ghost Rider, but like Ghost Writer.
No.
Wow. Okay. So it's about a sentient orb that helps these Canadian children, like solve mysteries, and the mysteries usually involve like dead people who like wrote to each other, and the ghosts can write. But there's like fully an episode that I thought was like so traumatizing as a child, where this like fucked up like purple goo monster, who's like I guess like a wad of bubblegum or something, come to life, who like literally like encases these children in slime, and it's like very dire and scary and horrifying. But they kill him because it turns out that like laundry detergent can take gum out of like some stuff, and so they just pour laundry detergent on him, and he dies. According to them.
Is the science there?
Oppenheimer.
Wow, that does sound scary. And I've never heard of this show before. I didn't know you were so into like Canadian children's shows.
It was like a public access sort of moment here. I'm going to show you a picture of Gooey Gus. He fully does look like a Power Rangers villain.
I thought he was a slime. Wait. What?
Well, he's like... Here, I'll show you.
He's the goo. He's not the orb.
The orb is kind. Yes, the orb is nice to them.
Why doesn't the orb just solve the mysteries on his own if he has all the information? Why do the kids need to get involved?
We need an access point.
Yes, I think it's like he... Because it is a man.
As orbs are.
Genders. Yes. He was like he can only communicate through writing, I think. It's supposed to be like love writing, I guess.
Oh my god.
Yeah, the slime monster is foul.
Yeah.
Gooey Gus. Oh, there's fan art of Gooey Gus fighting Grimace?
I'm sure there's fan art of Gooey Gus out there. Yeah, I'm sure there is.
There's someone from that Owl House show watching this happen too. What?
Are you sure they're fighting in the picture?
They are. One of them is saying, "Why are you laughing at me?"
I am seeing that. Oh, weird.
Sorry. Yeah, goo. So goo. Mystery goo. Spirit goo.
Other formative goos for me, I would have to say the liquid Andy Mack would turn into, right? Is that what that show was?
Yeah.
And also... the common cold villain on Kids Next Door.
I don't remember him. I just remember the like Aryan children that they had to fight.
Yes, the friendly children from down the lane.
Yes.
I don't think I know either of those goos.
No. The children aren't goo.
Oh, no, not the children, but the goos that Sam said, I don't think... Mm-hmm. I don't think I have many formative goos. Like, I can think of... Recent goos include like the Mucinex snot goo. I guess he's snot. He's his own thing, which is a form of goo. Snot is goo.
For sure.
Yeah, I know. Oobleck, of course.
Mm-hmm. That's like the OG goo.
Flubber. Flubber is goo.
Flubber is iconic goo. That's true.
Yes.
Was Flubber kind or not? Was he mischievous?
I never actually saw the film, but I think he was. Yeah, my read on it from my memories of the trailer is that he's nice but sort of a scamp.
Yes,
yeah, he was like, he was mischievous. I think he was messing with Rowan Williams.
Yeah, well, Flubber.
Oh God.
Flubber is rated 23% on Rotten Tomatoes. That seems
that can't be
disproportionate
right.
to how like. I think that Flubber is beloved in like cultural.
Beflubbed.
Like... Yeah, it's rated 23%. Audience score 33%. What? I remember it like being like everyone was talking about Flubber.
You got
oh my god! Flubber. There's fan art of Flubber fucking the Hamburglar.
See, that's where I thought we were going with the Grimace thing for sure. Why are the McDonald's characters always coming into this? Why the Hamburglar?
Because it's like people projecting their weird, like as a childhood, like, or like a young person, you're like projecting sexuality onto these things in your world.
That's, I remember, true. This globby, such as globby.
Yes.
True.
Oh my God. I remember the cool robot from Flubber.
I don't know that.
I had the VHS of it. I swear there were like multiple Flubbers. It wasn't just the one guy. Yeah. There are like dancing Flubbers. There's a girl Flubber because she has a skirt.
Oh my God. Of course she does.
Probably eyelashes too.
As a misogynist, I support that gendered of the Flubber, the gendering of the Flubber.
Yeah.
Looking at Flubber reminded me of those like hand, like whips, you know what I'm talking about? With that's kind of gooey.
That's a form of goo as well. A more solid goo, but goo nonetheless.
And they would pick up every ounce of fur.
They were the stickiest thing on earth.
For like a minute, and then you could never use it again.
Nothing more satisfying than throwing one against a window.
True. I'd love to experience that high again.
We can find you some.
Yeah, like what's stopping you? You are stopping you from experiencing that.
I got to get a Nerf gun too and shoot that at windows. Lots of things I need to start sticking on windows.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree.
So Avatar, Junora started to like understand. She has this connection with the spirit that Korra wishes she could have. Oh. So she knows that it happened. She goes and gets Opal and Korra, and she's like, can't you feel it? And Korra's like, no.
Even after her swamp adventure, it's like...
Yeah. She's got the conscious, like if she tries, she knows what's going on, but she doesn't just have the like passive ability that Junora has. She like looks in and sees Kuvira's stealing the little vines.
Big vines.
And the big vines. Yes, mainly big.
Not the little ones.
Just chopping them up.
Mm-hmm. Where is Toph? She's Toph is very world leader coded in this. She's doing nothing.
She's really She's really like invested in this like sort of like nomad. Like I'm just like not
Yoda fantasy.
Yeah, the Yoda fantasy where like I'm not gonna be involved in the like actual action. It's like why?
And then it's like that's your home though.
Yeah, like you should be pissed that they're like ripping the vines out that you see every day.
Yeah, I feel like she just wouldn't be able to like get to sleep. Like it'd be like she would feel it all, like these giant machines, and it would be like there's construction outside your window, but it's like in her head. And that alone should propel her to like take action.
She's also been operating as like a one-woman surveillance state panopticon and using these vines to watch the entire world. So you would think that she would have a bit more sympathy for the vines.
Maybe she realized that power was too much, and she was like, actually, I really didn't need to see what I saw happen between those old friends the other day.
As she was talking to Korra, she's like, now that I've said it out loud, that's like weird.
That's probably why Katara stays in the southern pole, the South Pole, so that Toph doesn't know what she's up to. They're like fighting against each other.
Ooh, yeah, that's true. They're always going to be those girls, those divas.
They never got over the drama of the chase.
Mm-mm. Or when they, what was it? She was mad at Katara for being a mom, for being mother.
Blind Bandit.
The Runaway.
Yes.
yeah, that's probably why. Not because, you know, Katara just like, lives there.
Couldn't be that. So we get this scene of Wu we've made allusions to, where Wu's talking to the other world leaders, and he has these ideas for like how to get rid of Kuvira. Not really a strategic mind, I would say. And everyone's like, no, she's not doing anything wrong, so we're not gonna do anything. Water Tribe not present in this meeting. where were they? And I don't know. Republic City is just like such a strange concept to me. Like, I feel like they don't know what it is. It the United Nations? Is it its own thing? No one knows.
Yeah, like, it's kind of just a city.
Yeah.
It's like
It's like the Vatican.
Yeah, exactly. It is.
That's true.
It's its own country.
Yeah. It's like, I definitely, like, we're giving them shit for, like, being bad leaders, but it's like, I feel like this is exactly how things go down in our world. Like,
true. So true.
People are just, like, not efficiently tackling real issues.
And I think that that's bad, too.
Yeah.
To be clear.
That's bad writing.
It's bad writing to reflect the inefficiencies of the real world. Honestly. I go here for escapism.
But like, and I agree that this is what happens in the real world, but in the real world, we don't have a world leader who is like ethically and spiritually dedicated to keeping the balance of the universe like we do with two of them. Like, Tenzin has charged all of the airbenders with doing that, and Korra is like present and is like, we need to stop her. And then everyone's still like, no.
Yeah. I have always found that upsetting in the Avatar universe, but especially in Korra, where it's like, there are so many times where she's like, I'm the Avatar, I think I should be present, or like, do you want to listen to my opinion, or like, I know this information that you guys don't know, and people are just like, no thank you. And it's like first of all, the show's called Avatar. I know you guys in universe don't know that, but the show's called Avatar, like, so she's kind of important. And
she, like,
now, she's getting, well, she used to be connected to every Avatar beforehand. It's like, you're not gonna listen to her.
Yeah, it's like, even if like they don't know that's called Avatar in universe, but it's also like, you like know that there's this one person on the planet who, like, not even, it's not even like based on religion, it's not like up for interpretation, she like genuinely is like that girl, like that, she just is that girl. So it's like, you like should probably listen to her. But
even
also,
if she didn't have a connection to the spirit world, she is the only person in the world who can do all of the elements. So like, you have active proof every day that she is someone important and special.
Yeah. Right.
And it's also, I would say, like, they have, I feel like, less of an excuse to like get shit done, because like, they only have to worry about, like, there are four countries on the planet that you have to worry about. And what, like we said, one of them wasn't even at the meeting. So it's like,
geopolitics just got solved.
Have just four countries.
There's like three of you in a room who get to decide what's happening. Like, surely we can, like, there's less red tape involved.
Yeah. But yeah, it is surprising to me that they, I mean, I get it. On an ethical standpoint, some of them don't want to go on the offense first and strike first. But like, now that we're talking about this, and we alluded to Oppenheimer earlier, what Kuvira is doing is giving, not Oppenheimer himself, but Oppenheimer the movie, where the Nazis were making weapons, and it was like, actually, we should be fixing, we should be stopping that.
Let's do something about that.
In the episode, in the non-clip show episode that we watched most recently, it is revealed that like they have ethnic cleansing camps, which like doesn't come up in this discussion, but like it just feels like that would have helped maybe convince them, where they're like, well, maybe, I don't think Bolin had arrived yet, or he came during the meeting. Like, it was, he and Beric were there, and like they know that waterbenders and firebenders are being like kidnapped in the Earth Empire and being like taken to these camps, and like,
so you have a vested interest as the person who's like the Fire Lord. Like, you should be worried that firebenders are being rounded up.
Yes.
Yeah, like they're already striking. Yeah, I forgot about that. So they're already attacking your nations.
I'd been racking my brain trying to think of, like, because I was like, there's just no way that she hasn't like caused some kind of issue for these other countries. Like, it's not all contained in the world, especially because we know everything's connected, obviously, but like literally physically, that's simply like I know they have to, because this is like the plot of the show or whatever, but it just doesn't make sense that they wouldn't like be worried about this. It's like, Ozai was like 75 years ago, like, there are people alive today who fought in the fire war, like the war, like the 100-year war. And like, it just, this is not what would happen. It feels,
I guess I would maybe I would understand it more if it was like, oh, we want to do something about Kuvira, but she's like so popular and beloved that like people would be pissed at us if we did that. But they like don't even talk about that, or it's like none of them like maybe one of the leaders is like sympathetic to Kuvira. Like it's like,
whoa,
there are ways to like make this make more sense why no one's like doing anything about it other than these like 19-year-olds.
And then it felt like the water tribe couldn't be there because one of them would be Korra's dad and the others would be Korra's cousins, and they couldn't be like, no, since they're family, I guess. And I guess they just conveniently didn't want them to be there.
Yeah. Mm. The system is rigged.
Against the Avatar.
Yeah. It's always been against her. Yeah. So it's like they're trying to address it, like the political machinations of what's happening, but it's like, It's not vibing with me.
Me either. Bolin and Varric show up, as I said, and at first they are going to be taken to jail because they were traitors and worked with Kuvira, but then they're like, we betrayed her, Obvi. You know, not exactly how I remember it going down. Sure. Men lie, people die. Mm. And Bolin apologizes to Opal, and she's like, no.
Fierce.
Why?
Fierce and Slay have heard to be like, no, like, you're fully part of, like, a fascist dictatorship that, like, directly affected me and my family, so.
And is currently affecting me. Everyone I know from childhood is either evil or kidnapped.
And you're the evil one. You're not the kidnapped one.
Yeah. So,
like, Bolin tries to do, like, oh.
This was Bolin. Giving book one Bolin. It's like, what was this?
A romantic gesture.
Yeah, like, why can't it just be like, hey, like, I understand why you don't want to, like, be with me anymore, but, like, I still know your family and want to help them.
He spent too much time with Varric.
Yeah, literally.
That makes sense.
Who's, like, yeah, the
I'm CEO. Glad. I'm glad that. No, you're not going to say it because I'm going to say what I was going to say.
Yes, go for it.
So misogyny.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. He's the CEO of misogyny. Yes. Anyway.
I'm glad that she didn't take him back, though, after that sweet bun thing.
And then he uses Pavu to, like, deliver a fake message and implies there's danger, and Opal comes running and he has a picnic ready to go, and she's still like, dude, no. Which is still Slay and Yas and Queen.
Yeah. It's like, I thought he learned this lesson from someone else. I swear he like did this exact thing to someone before, like something
Ginger
similar.
Probably.
Yeah, it was like Ginger or I want to call her Aubrey Plaza, whatever. Eska?
Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah. Where it's like, no, that's like not how you should like behave or treat women. Oh, he was that way to Opal too. Like, but at the beginning of the relationship, when they first met, he was like trying to be all suave and cool and annoying to her, and she's like, no, don't do that. So like, he's not learning anything.
He's going on a journey, a very slow journey.
Yes.
Just like Korra, he's like repeating his same mistakes and not receiving any new outcomes.
That's actually very realistic. Yeah. So I'm not going to shame either one of them for that.
Character growth is not a straight line, people.
That is so true.
This was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
This show has perfect writing.
It does. That's what we're all trying to say.
So then Jinora is like in the vine area looking around for the tour group. She finds the camera that fell on the ground from the press person. And then she herself gets captured. But before she gets knocked out, she sends off one of her little spirit texts and tells Korra what's going on.
This is honestly like a very Buffy coded like plot line, you know?
I love that. Yeah, it's like it's very Monster of the Week. Like it's just like people are kidnapped in the spirit world. Do something about it.
Yeah, there's people trapped in goo pods. Mm. Do we know what like they wanted to do? What the spirits wanted to just like trap them?
They're pissed at humanity, I think, and they can't really tell the difference between like the humans that are chopping them up and the humans that are like walking around the vines, and they're like get away from us. They're like, leave us alone.
Get them all.
And, you know, they're right to do so. Like,
honestly,
I mean, I don't know about the case of these vines specifically, because they
are they're all ones, connected, Sam.
But they are the ones invading the Republic City, though. Like, they're
connected.
The Republic City was probably built over sacred lamb. So,
oh my god,
so true.
Yeah, I like the idea of like vines having like social structure. Like, oh, Republic City vines have this kind of attitude, but the ones out in the country are very different.
Look,
they're less cultured.
The Republic City vines, the Los Angeles vines, it's yeah. very different.
Yeah, Los Angeles is just a city in Avatar. It's like everywhere else.
In one of the four countries.
Yeah, there is Los Angeles. I feel like it would be Fire Nation, right? That feels right to me.
That feels right. It's, like, it's hot there.
Yeah, and like
it's on fire sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sorry to say get so, but...
Oh, I went there. Or you went there. I didn't go anywhere. Oh my god, Los Angeles. Yeah, what are we talking about?
Anyway.
Yes.
Spirit are... personalities.
But no, yeah.
Vine personalities.
I wonder what those pods were gonna do if they left them go.
Yeah.
I do think it was probably like in a night. Did they reveal what happens in the Annihilation movie with the people who came not yeah, right? Her husband comes back and then he's like not him.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And there's goo in that too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And highly recommend that trilogy of books. The second one rules. Anyway, yeah, I think that they probably get like copied and sent back out of the vines to like start taking over the world.
I love that for them, honestly. That's a cute plan, I think.
It's probably the best plan a villain has had. I don't know. Kuvir is doing a really good job. He did a pretty good job, but...
Very efficient.
Yeah.
I mean, better than Unalaq and Amon.
Yeah, what was Amon's goal? Who knows? And so Mako and Korra go into the vine world and they find the pods and they get chased and then they're like they find the people and Mako's like gonna cut into them with fire and Korra's like, no, let me meditate into the spirit world, and she tries it and she's still holding on to her traumas, trauma. So she can't.
Female trauma. Generational trauma.
This all is such an episode about trauma.
She has to exposure therapy herself.
Yeah. To like her assailant.
Yeah. I know, which is very intense.
Very traumatic.
And he does that little like jump scare to her. Like,
Zahir, just rude, honestly.
Not the time to joke around.
Have some decorum.
Yeah.
What happened? Locked up in your horrific jail cell.
Wait, are you talking about when she like goes into the spirit world and he attacks her?
No, in the jail cell when he's like, rah.
Oh. That makes sense. But like this, Zahir, like I just wish Zahir had been in every episode so far this season. Like this, I love my rewrite of the show entirely, obviously. But like the concept of every season, Korra has this new like spiritual mentor. Because like in season one, we had Tenzin, and then she switched to Unalaq, and then season three, I mean, and Jinora started doing more stuff in season two, and then now it's like Zahir is like guiding her. And I wish that like, and it's kind of a replacement for her past lives also, where she's having this like conversation that she needs to have with this random person. And I wish that like it had always been a villain or something. Like it had always been this like Hannibal Lecter thing where they had a villain locked up. And I just wish Zahir had been in the whole season. This was great and a cool like added element.
Agreed. And I that would have been played more into this like idea that they've retroactively decided is true, which is like Korra had to learn something from every villain, which like not really. Like she didn't really learn much from Amon. Like she never really questioned like bending or like non-benders' place in society ever. She learned from Unalaq, but only in the sense that she like wanted to gain like special powers from him. And then like
which she just, now has. She used them in the episode.
She does. Yes. But yeah, she actually is learning from something from Zahir, which is fierce, like you said.
Maybe that's kind of like what happened. I've read like one Avatar comic ever, but maybe they do that with Azula. I know they go find the mom, question mark. But
the mother.
Mom.
I just love Zaheer is just a great character, so. And if Amon had lived, and if Unalaq had lived, and if Tarlaq had lived, not that I like any of those characters, but I think Tarlaq, I don't know. I don't remember anyone's name, but like they could have just provided cool stuff in the following season.
Yes.
Especially because Tarlaq and Zaheer are like friends.
They were like...
No, go, Derek.
No, they were like besties in the Red Lotus, right?
Red Lotus pals, yeah.
Oh. I kind of like that it wasn't all of them, though, because I think it's like, it's unique to Zaheer because I think he uniquely traumatized Korra in this, like the poison, obviously, very metaphor alert. And I think it wouldn't have been as effective if it had like kind of been that same pattern for all of them. So I liked that she kind of had to face her biggest fear, her biggest like blockade, and go to the guy that's like, he was so spiritually connected. Like he was literally so spiritually connected that he like taught himself airbending, that he just like became an airbender. So I think, I actually really liked the rationale. Here's where I think they had really good rationale. Oh my god, my cat just stepped on my keyboard and like pressed whatever button made the slime monster, the purple goo guy from before, like pop up on my screen. I really like that Zaheer was like, oh, well, for now our intention, what our goals or motivations or whatever align. Goals, I don't know what he said.
Goals.
Our fitness goals align. I really like that. I think it like makes a lot more sense than in some of the other seasons. It's like, why would she have had to work with them? But in this one, it's like, he also doesn't like powerful dictators like taking over the Earth Kingdom.
Definitely. And this was definitely the most, he's the most spiritual villain in a way that like is actually coded to what spirits mean in the show. Like obviously Unalaq had like spirit magic and like evil whatever, but like he wasn't like
a Pokemon master.
You're right, exactly. he didn't like have the meditative thoughts that like we think of when we think of like spirits in Avatar. It was like magic. I totally agree that like if they're going to do it with one of the villains, here's obviously the right one. I wish that they had just like, cause like one of the first lines of the show is you've always excelled at the physical side of bending, but you blah, blah, blah with the spiritual side. And so like, if they had like a different spiritual mentor every season, she needed to learn something new from that person and like dug in on that. I think that would be cool.
Just that's such a good impression, by the way.
Thank you. I mean, I've heard that line so many times.
I know. And actually I remember being on like very early, like in,
you did the first episode.
I was gonna say, like, we definitely talked about that, and I remember even back then you were like, this is a major overarching arc throughout the show of like, yeah, her spiritual journey. But actually what you said, Sam, I think is really cool, because I realized that like what you said about the villains, kind of the other villains besides Zaheer using spirit in like evil ways, it was more like for power. Like it was like, I'm gonna use this like magic trick that I've learned or whatever. And in a way, I think that's kind of how Korra saw it for a lot of times. Like she was like, oh, I'll just like learn this spirity thing or whatever. And it's like only through Zaheer, because he does have that deeper connection of like meditating on the meaning and like the actual connection. And in this episode, it happened very fast, like with Korra being like, I get it now. Like I'm like so spiritual now. Like it's always been inside of you.
Well, she had been making good progress up until the trauma of the book 3 finale. Like she had been meditating into the spirit world and like she did some spirit magic-y stuff like in book 2, I think. And so like now that she's worked past it, like it makes sense that she's now able to do these things again and perform these Avatar powers.
Yeah.
Performance.
Performance.
I'm performing Avatar.
Oh, yeah. I feel like that was really captured in, like, sorry if I'm stealing beats of the plot going ahead of time. But, like, when she's, like, talking to Rava inside of her, and she's like, but I don't have any powers here. And Rava is like, but this is where you're the most powerful. Like, I feel like that kind of captures what I was trying to say of, mm-hmm. like, it's not just, like, the literal powers. It's, like, actually your avatar spiritual energy. And that, I feel like, is, like, what Zaheer showed her more than the other spiritual mentors who were like, did you know you could do this magic trick?
Everyone's so focused on the avatar state that they don't, like... I mean, I feel like Korra probably was too, where she's like, if I can, like, master the spiritual stuff, I can go to the avatar state and kick people up, beat people up. But, like, what she actually needs are the other, like, softer avatar powers of, like, communicating with the spirits and, like, working with people.
Yeah. So true.
Everyone's worried about the avatar state, but no one ever asks, what's the state of the avatar?
That is the tagline of the show. that's really good.
No one asks, how is Korra?
Aww.
That's what Zaheer is changing. He's the master of the soft stuff, like you're saying.
Yeah, this is poetry ass.
Master of the goo.
The gooey parts of being an avatar are very important.
And she learns, and she goes in the avatar state, and it's sort of like a Dorothy, you've always had the way home moment, where Rob is like, just think about it, you'll be there. And she, like, flings herself, like, in Spirited Away when Yubaba, like, calls Sen through the hallways, and she, like, flies, and suddenly she's at the pods, and she spirit bends them, and they are free in the physical world.
Yes, God. Yeah. And the part where the Rava, like, shows up in her chest, mm-hmm. I believe is the cover of the Blu-ray collection of the show.
Wow.
It's a fierce visual.
Shows up in her chest.
Yes. Because,
yeah. I mean, like, it's so iconic in Avatar The Last Airbender, where, like, his tattoos glow. Mm-hmm. And like, for Korra, obviously only her eyes glow because she doesn't have tattoos that we can see. Maybe she has tattoos. We don't know. Would love a reveal that, like, that she has, a thigh tattoo that's been glowing this whole time.
Yes. What would it be?
Like a spear.
A spear. I'm thinking it would be, like, Naga, but with, like, human clothes on or something. Like a backwards cap, you know? With, like, a hot dog.
Like the party god from Adventure Time?
Yes. It'd be something, like, she definitely, like, they got it that night when they're all driving around in Asami's car, like, and they definitely got drunk. Like, she got that tattoo that night.
With, like, special spirit ink?
Ooh.
Is it? Because I don't think it glows if it's just, like, regular ink.
That's right.
I think spirit ink.
I think the idea is supposed
actually,
to...
Actually...
do tell.
Me jumping in. No, I think Derek was about to say what I was about to say, but without being a dick about it.
Well, I think, if I remember, it's, like, the explanation is supposed to be, like... Okay, so, like, the eyes glowing is, like, supposed to be, like, oh, all the eyes of the avatar at once. So I think it's the idea that, like, oh, like, since all, like... one quarter of the past avatars are airbenders, like, the tattoos glow too because they had tattoos. It's supposed to be the idea.
I thought it was they all glowed because, like, the tattoos are done along the, like, chakra lines.
Oh, that would make more sense. I just thought it was body. I thought it was if you overlaid all the avatars on each other, like, the eyes would glow and the tattoos would glow. But, like, maybe at, like, a quarter of the luminescence of the eye.
You were going, like, graphic designer mode. Yes, like, you were like, so if all the layers were overlaid and in Photoshop you used, like, the transparency layer, like, burn, dodge, multiplication, yeah, the color layer dodge tool.
It would be bright eyes and, like, slightly less bright arrow.
25%.
Yes.
Opacity.
Like, it took longer for the glow to, like, build up across the avatars.
That would be really funny. I think Sam's thing makes sense.
Hey! Minus two.
So then her thigh tattoo, like, unless it was on, like, the thigh chakra, it wouldn't glow. Like, it would have to be on a chakra spot.
Right. Well, but they, like, Aang's tattoos do glow all the way down his body, I think. So, like, if he got it on the area where Aang's arrow tattoos are down his legs, like, it would glow, I think.
Okay, good to know.
She got, like, a forehead tattoo?
Yeah.
I could see that. Or, like, Naga's tail, like, brushes up against a spot.
Oh, yeah, maybe, if it was just, like, partially on the chakra line.
Then the whole thing just lights up.
Right. And it's, oh, my God, what if it's, like, done in, like, ink the color of her skin, and so, like, it's, you can only see it all when she's in the Avatar state.
Oh my god,
invisible tattoo.
I mean, that would be,
I think, good. Like, yet again, that still begs the question for me of, like, why is it glowing? Why is it like glowing? It was like a wound, like the skin is a little more like see through at that part,
the wound.
It's still like, yeah, I'm not gonna lie, guys, like, it doesn't make sense.
If his, like, if it like went out of their ears and their nose.
Their teeth, when they smile, it's
their,
like,
teeth, yeah, it's like blacklight. Like, we were talking about blacklight earlier. Yeah. It's just like, that's what it is. That's what the spirit glow is. Yes. See, if you're wearing white that day, like, the Avatar. That's,
yes, the next Avatar needs a fierce, like, streak of pink that glows when they go into Avatar moment.
Yeah.
I see that for them.
Maybe it's me.
It is you.
Am I?
Am I? I mean, we know all avatars are queer in some way, so that's, like,
so true.
The stars are aligning.
We know all avatars are attracted to women.
Yo, yeah. That's I shouldn't. Yeah. I guess we never knew. But I, it's like, come on, Aang and Zuko.
I just, like, went with it. I just really was like, I agree.
Our spoiler-free coding of this podcast has really deteriorated in book 4 of Legend of Korra.
Oh, I mean, she called Asami sweet last episode and blushed when they, like, even, like, looked at each other. Like, come on.
Yeah.
Alas.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah. I feel like we were speculating about all this stuff on Tumblr at this point anyway.
I had been speculating since book 1.
Right.
I speculate whenever I see two women even 10 feet apart.
Yes.
When I see two boys walking down the street, I am in, like, they're, like, semi close to each other. I'm like, are they holding hands? And then it's like, no, they're not.
They're just men walking along the street.
Yeah. We get a scene where the president brings Asami and Varric together to, like, make a super weapon, stop the super weapon, work together against Kuvira's, like, spirit nuke.
Yeah, it's good that they don't immediately go, okay, we should start harvesting the spirit vines, because, like, we have the guy who invented the technology.
Yeah, they're better than, it's not Oppenheimer. This episode is so Oppenheimer coded.
We've been talking about that this season. It's very timely.
Revealing how good of a listener I am. It's just, you know, not just what I was saying. I'm going to want to talk about it as much as possible.
It is very Oppenheimer coded. There's, like, because I even said, like, I didn't think that Varric switching sides made sense until I saw Oppenheimer. I was like, you know what? Seeing the horrors of your nuclear creation can change you.
You're like, oh. they do that. They're like, oh.
They go, oh.
Yeah. And then they leave.
They go.
Yes. Go on.
I do. Well, no, I was just joining the fun of making little noises.
Well, that was our thing. So, sorry. What do you have to say?
I do like that Asami, like, Korra's working with her villain at the same time Asami's being forced to work together with Varric, who,
oh, yeah,
is her sort of, like, I guess, foil, quote unquote. Not really that they do much with that, but they've at least been antagonistic in the past.
Well, he antagonizes her.
He bankrupts her company and steals her stuff and blows up buildings.
Yeah, and she just kind of, like, it's like, okay, I guess I have to restart everything. Just, like, no retaliation. Just, like, okay, I guess back to square one for me.
Women have to shrink themselves.
Yes, period.
We CEOs freeze so that our other CEOs daughters can look back and see how far they've come.
Exactly. My God. Yes, Asami and Varric and what else happens?
The final scene, I mean, like, it's very interesting. Like, this Lynn and Opal scene where they're like, we're gonna have to do it ourselves. Like, we have to go like rescue our family since the leaders of the world aren't doing it for us. It happened so early in the episode, and I kind of figured that that was going to be the plot of the episode, but then it actually is set up for this final scene where Opal and Lynn are, like, leaving to go do that, and Bolin comes up one more time, and he's like, hey, girl, like, sorry about it. Like, you know, I'm an idiot. I hope you can never forgive me. And she's like, I don't, but what you can do is use your lava powers to help rescue my family.
Exactly.
Yeah, and it's like, duh. It's like, why didn't you think of that, Bolin?
And also, you should just, like, want to do that anyway, because, presumably you, like, know these people pretty well, like, your girlfriend's family. Like, shouldn't you want to help them?
And he's, you know, at least nominally on Team Avatar, and so we would think that he would recognize that Kuvira is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it does. Now that we're talking about it like that, like, it does make it even more bizarre that he made sweet buns. It's like, sorry, your family got kidnapped by
it could be dead
leader that I was working for, but do you want to have a picnic right now? I can't think of a possible better use of my time than by baking 2 dozen sweet buns for you. And she's like, don't you have magical powers that can, like, melt metal and burn down things, and like, don't you have inside information about this?
Yeah, you know, group more
that has my entire family.
He's like, he's just Bolin. I mean, I guess it's consistent, but it's like, in the final season, when you want to show the character, like, growth a little, I don't know.
If she found out that he is aware of these concentration camps that Kuvira has, and he didn't bring it up in this meeting, like, she's gonna be pissed.
She's gonna be fuming. It's like, I don't know. Like, maybe, like, oh, Bolin does invite her here, and he has sweet buns, and he's, like, doing his Bolin thing, but then he's like, but I'm not here to ask you to be my girlfriend still. I'm here to say I want to help you rescue your family, because I have grown and changed as a person.
Yeah. It's like bringing a casserole over, like, when somebody's family member, like, passes away or something. But it's like, they're not dead, and actually you have the direct line into being able to help avoid any such situation. You're out here baking a casserole.
Yeah. Like, not even a casserole, like, just some sweet buns. Like,
just some buns.
Like, nothing hearty, nothing filling. Just
to be fair to Bolin, she did say that those were her favorite. So he at least knows that about her.
Okay, so maybe they should be in love together. Okay,
and I forgive him.
Thank you.
It would work on me.
Fine, okay.
The way to a woman's heart is through her stomach.
I'm always saying this.
It's through her buns.
Oh.
Sweet buns, get your minds out of the gutter, people.
Wow.
Speaking of goo, no, we didn't go there.
But Derek is so on sexualizing women this episode.
I know, I told you, I'm the misogyny correspondent.
He took the wrong lesson away from Barbie.
Yeah, it's like, you're right, we should oppress women. Like,
yeah. I thought that was the...
He just learned about misogyny from Barbie, and he's like, that actually seems cool.
I had never thought about it before.
You were like, patriarchy actually would be a really good idea.
I love it. Let's make it happen, because it's not real now, right?
Yeah. That's really cool. I'm glad that you got that from the movie. That it was put to a wide audience and is one of the most successful movies ever, because I think that needed to be heard.
Finally, someone said it.
Finally.
Oh.
Thank you, Greta Gerwig.
Yes, we love you. I'm about to be misogynistic to my cat because she's somewhere she's not supposed to be.
Go ahead, do it.
Well, she's fine. She knows. Yep, I'm looking at you. Come on.
Did you guys see my cats being cute in the background earlier?
Mm-hmm.
They were on a cat tree, and then the other one went up, and they were pawing at each other.
It was so cute.
It was really cute, and it's too bad this is a podcast, because no one besides you two will ever be able to see the extreme cuteness that was.
But I'm sure they love our retelling of it.
I think so, too. They're really sitting with bated breath.
If we can't convey the cuteness auditorially, then we're not good podcasters.
Yeah. And now my cat is licking her butt.
The goo. The goo hole, exactly. anyway, that's everything that happened in this episode. Any other final thoughts?
I feel very replete. That's a word.
Replete. Is that what that word means?
Replete of goo. The goo is gone. Replete.
Goo gone?
Goo gone.
Goo gone is kind of like if they were going to do a book five, that would be the name of the villain.
Goo gone. Oh, I had like the opposite idea of what replete means. It means you're like full.
Full of satisfaction with what you said.
Opposite of deplete.
Oh my God.
Oh, replete. Wow. Linguistics are so real.
What would pleat be? It's like, I'm so depleted. Or it's like, oh, I'm repleting myself. But then it's like, are you ever just pleated?
Complete.
I feel like
to plead. It means to plead.
Oh my God. We keep discovering new layers. How far back does this go?
Words.
Latin.
Probably.
It's actually from German? The Spanish fleet.
I think that doesn't Spanish have Latin roots? I don't know.
You don't know anything.
We've moved out of my realm of knowledge.
I was actually a linguistics major, but I literally hate when anybody asks me about linguistics because it's like, do you expect me to know things about my major? I don't know anything that I learned when I was 19 years old.
Yeah, like what the
fuck? It is derived from Latin. Good job.
I know one thing.
Yeah, Hispano-Romance, Latin.
Damn.
I love Jane the Virgin.
Vulgar Latin, also known as popular or colloquial Latin.
Vulgar.
Vulgar.
That's what we were doing with the goo. We were being too vulgar.
It was pretty. Yeah, it was pretty vulgar.
Any other thoughts, Gabby, Sam?
Another beautiful episode recap in the books.
Slayed it.
In the books four.
In the book four.
In the books four.
Thank you so much, Gabby, for joining us this week.
It was
as
so
always.
Fun. Oh my gosh. Thanks for having me. I'm glad that we had so much to talk about in terms of the episode.
Yeah.
And goo.
And goo. And episode, popular films that
episode like, goo recent releases. That's what we discuss here.
Yeah, yes.
It's a real misogyny. Time capsule. And misogyny.
Subcategory of recent releases.
Yes,
and goo.
You know, honestly, we started with misogyny and we're ending with misogyny. So like, slay.
Book ending. Yeah. So like, slay.
We are at the book ending. It is. We only have four episodes left.
Damn.
So exciting. Kind of sad baggy. Also.
Our little journey.
Yeah. Sam has seemed excited about ending at multiple points in the book.
I don't know what you're referring to. I definitely didn't question whether watching Korra as a whole was worth it mere weeks ago. But we'll see how I feel when we get to the end of it.
Regardless, anyway, we did it.
Yes. Gabby, do you have anything you want to plug?
No, not really. I'm on Twitter while it still exists. Exists. Gabby Pascuzzi, and I'm constantly saying like if it ends and there's a new thing open up, like I don't think I'm gonna go there, but that could also be a lie. So if there is ever a new thing, just like look for me there. But other than that, I'm gonna try to remove myself from.
I love that.
The internet.
It feels like I feel like this whole like Twitter thing is feeling very like series finale moment, and then it's like we'll pick back up with the revival series maybe later. Maybe you'll be there.
Maybe Aiden will be there.
Maybe. Oh, frightening.
Derek, anything to plug?
Watch And Just Like That on HBO Max. But also follow me at Reindeerks on Twitter. Follow us at Bitterjurors Pod on Twitter and Instagram. Follow Shadow Play Gaze on Twitter. Is that it? I think so. For me.
For me, Buffy Boyfriends. We're finishing season 2. We recorded the finale episode already. Coming out soon. Follow me at Sam Sandish. Otherwise, and have a beautiful tomorrow.
Thank you.
Yes. And to the listeners, we love you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye. Bye-bye.